Welcome to the C3 Church Podcast. Stay tuned for this week's message.
Let me read a scripture to you in these as we just come around the Word of God here tonight. And in Ezekiel 47, verse 3, I would like to just take you through this passage, which is a passage about increase, a passage about enlargement, a passage about getting deeper. And it talks about an angel. And I want to give you a story tonight about an experience I had, which includes angels. And angels are real beings from heaven who come to earth to take us into experiences where God wants to take us. And this angel was walking with Ezekiel with a measuring tape or a measuring rod. And you see angels often mentioned in the Bible with measuring rods. And as they are walking, he measures off 1,500 feet from the temple along this river, and he got to a place where they were ankle deep in water. And then he measured another 1,500 feet, and he led me through water that was knee deep. And he measured off another 1,500 feet, leading me through water that was waist deep. And he measured off another 1,500 feet. By now it was a river over my head, water to swim in, water no one could possibly walk through. Amen. Let's just close our eyes and pray and ask God to talk to us here tonight. Father, thank you for the word, the power of the scripture. And I pray that not one second of it or ounce of it would be diluted in any way here tonight, but that we would receive the full impact of your word, your spirit, and the mighty grace of God enabling us to embrace this word and let it transform us into the reality it's speaking about. Heavenly Father, help us reach this generation, this world around us, in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, amen. I believe that God wants us to move into a revisit, a reenactment of the reality of the book of Acts. Again, in these days. Unfortunately, in a lot of places, you will see that the power of God has been dialed down and ignored or actually spoken against and tried to be shut down. One of the reasons for that is that oftentimes the expressions of people who are in the Spirit-filled community appears less than sane, just downright weird sometimes. And so the credibility in amongst the people who have some sanity, who are looking for an expression that isn't going to be unnecessarily embarrassing to bring their family and their friends into, is difficult. I mean, for some people, even hands lifted up and singing in supernatural languages or things like that is just a little bit too much to take. But believe me, that's completely mild compared to some of the things I've witnessed and have been part of with a whole heart, thinking this is awesome. And I know that when God moves, he has exhorted us in the church to say, keep it in an area where it's believable and retains credibility. Don't let it get away on you so that people will come in and say, oh, these people are mad. That's what Paul says to the Corinthian church. But he says, manage the moving of the Spirit. Don't kill it. Just manage it so that when prophecies come, it's like two or three, not everybody going crazy all at once. And when this happens, manage it so that it... And the basic tone of what he's talking about is keep the power of God flowing and don't shut it down. Despise not prophesying. Don't shut off prophesying. Don't shut down the Holy Spirit. But what happened is that because of a few weird things and unusual things that makes people feel a little spooked out, they kind of tend to shut it down and just go for this drier form of church life and Christianity. And after a while, I can tell you, you ain't going to make it because you need a lot of power to live a life that Jesus is calling us to live. It's you need power to love people that you hate. You need you need power to beat the devil who's been oppressing people for thousands of years. You need some more power to just get out of here. You need something that's dynamic on your life. You need power to bring people to Christ. People don't want to do that. You need power to lead a church, a supernatural power to build a supernatural church. The second reason that sometimes the book of Acts has been dialed down as though it's a historical event or it was just for the apostles or not really around today is because we have lived independent lives from the guidance of the Lord. And on that first night, I'm very burdened with a message to bring that I believe will take people to the level that God has taken us to. The worst thing is to watch God do something in people's lives where their circumstances exceed their character or their circumstances exceed their maturity. And what happens is that they do things that blow it all up and brings it back to a manageable level for them. And you don't want that to happen. You don't want to find yourself with something that's bigger than your capacity on the inside. Now, with Presence Global, guys, it's not like I feel like we're going to another level. It's measurable. We're at a totally new level. We had 1,500 delegates sign up. I think it was 1,390, actually, at Kuala Lumpur. As of this morning, there are 5,500 delegates coming to this conference. That's 4,000 more. That's going up a level. That's going up a level. So with that, there's going to be like not just 5 children that get lost. There's going to be 50. And so a lot more help and a lot higher stress levels. There isn't going to be just one fight about who sits in that seat. There'll be 100 people fighting. And that's just the pastors. You know, it's like is the whole thing goes to another level, and the capacity of you as our congregation, also we got to grow with that and increase with that and change gear and become bigger in thinking about a whole range of areas. And so the Lord here is taken, Ezekiel is being taken from being a prophet who's ankle deep to somebody who's knee deep. And then he's being taken further to somebody who's waist deep. And you know, when you're waist deep and you're in a river that's flowing swiftly, you can feel that current. And you think, whoa, man, I better stay in safe zones, keep my feet on the ground. But no, this prophet, the angel said to the prophet, no, we're not staying here. We're going where your feet don't touch the ground. We're going where you're going to trust the current of the Holy Spirit to take you somewhere you've never been before. And that's when we will start to obey God. And on that first night, that's what I really want to talk about. It's a message called the parable of the dog. It's about the lordship of Christ. Don't worry, we'll join those dots on the day. Amen. But it's about... Thank you very much. It's about doing what the Lord tells you to do and not doing what he doesn't tell you to do. It's like a whole new concept. Amen. Because we got to move from him being our Savior to him being our Lord. As our Savior, he dies for us. When he's our Lord, we die for him. It's not about just what he can do for us. It's about what we can do for him. And that's lordship. And so what I can do for him is to listen to him and do what he tells me to do. But most of us don't want to do that. Because we don't know if we trust him. Like, what do you want me to do? Oh, I don't want to ask that question. He might tell me. And it might be something I don't want to do. And I got these desires in my heart. I've already got my plans. I'm not going to commit them to him because what if he says, no, don't marry him. Get serious then. What if he says, no, don't go into partnership with that person. I want to. He's the one with the money. I got a great idea. Committed to God. Should I do this? Oh, no, I don't want to do that. What if he says, no, I want to do this. Big difference between lordship and just having a Savior. Amen. But when you, listen, put a thing, your plans into it before him and say, what do you think, Lord? Should I do this? You got to trust that he's good. If he says no, it was just going to be a terrible, terrible thing. But if he says yes, whoa, full confidence. And sometimes he's told us to go dig a hole. And so he said, dig a hole over there. We say, oh God, I will dig a hole for you. But I just want to do it over here. It's for you. Amen. But that's partial obedience. That's halfway obedience. That still doesn't do the job. So you're over there digging with a shovel. But he said, over there, there's a bulldozer parked by the hole that I want you to dig. He will empower us. That's what I'm trying to say to you, that the supernatural power of God is where you're doing what he does. Jesus said, I only do what I see the Father doing. He couldn't do anything else. He said, I can't. The Son can do nothing else but what he's seen the Father do. So it's like, if we could get ourselves, if the church could get to a place of seeing the Father and doing what he's telling us to do, I can guarantee you a supernatural power like we've never seen poured out on the earth will start to flow through a bunch of obedient servants. Amen. Oh, I can't tell you anymore. I'm really excited about that message because I feel like it's going to trigger so many people into a deeper, higher, stronger level of living, the most satisfying level of living, and get us out of a dry place. While you've got ankle deep living, the rest of you is dry. And I'm urging you to get to a place in this conference where you are soaking, where you are totally immersed. That's what the word baptism means. Where you just get immersed in the power of God and you get carried away in that current and you find yourself in worship. But listen to me. My biology teacher, Miss Rivers, when I was 11 years old at Headlow Private School, which I eventually went to a public school because there were kind of more ordinary people there and I wanted to be there, you know, but she taught us, Miss Rivers taught us how about osmosis. Everybody say osmosis. Some of you have never said that word in your whole life, but now you've said it. Amen. You'd put the potato in a thing of dye, blue dye. Hold it there for like 10 seconds, pull it out, and you look at it, and there's just this tinge of blue around the outside. You'd say, watch this. We'd stick it in there, leave it overnight, come back in the morning, and that blue dye had gone all the way to the center. You had a blue potato. I want you to be blue people. Amen. I want you to soak in that presence of God so it goes all the way to your bones. And it takes a while. There's nothing in the Bible you'll ever find that anything awesome happened out of just a two-minute encounter. Jesus spent 40 days out in that wilderness soaking in the presence of God. Moses spent 40 days up a mountain soaking in the presence of God, bringing down the Ten Commandments, broke those. Went up and got another set. Amen. Took another 40 days, 80 days to bring down that. It took them 10 days waiting in that upper room, day after day after day, just soaking. And then boom, a breakthrough came. Peter waiting on a rooftop for hours, seeking God. Paul, 14 years in the deserts of Arabia. Nothing happens with God like I know we all wish he was a microwave God, but he's not. He's an oven God. And it takes it, you just can't go push the button ding. I mean, even with a microwave, you're sitting there thinking, oh, these things take so long. And remember in Back to the Future, he puts in the pill and out comes a big chook. You know, it's like that's what everybody wants, but that's not reality. Reality is that God has not changed. And as you wait and soak in every meeting, 10 meetings, boom, boom, boom. It's only 2 days off work. One day's Anzac Day. And just say, I am going to make the time and separate myself to God so that I go from ankle to knee to waist until I'm immersed in the power of God. So that by that final day, your life will be a transformed life as we look into the next year. I'm wanting for you, that's why we're putting it on. So your life and your world is completely and utterly transformed. You come out of the fog, come out of that crusty, drifty place, a few attitudes, and you find you're all sweet at the end. Amen. Transformed by the mighty power of God. And that's what God has destined for every single one of us, that we would find ourselves literally being changed so that we just do life better. How incredible is it that how many of you have moved away from home? I mean, you used to live somewhere else, but now you're elsewhere. Okay. I remember going back to my home after I had become a believer, after I became a Christian, and getting amongst all my family, and instantly I was reacting differently, responding differently to everybody. You know, you think, wow, I really have changed. And then you go back a few years later and you think, I've changed again. I'm having this kind of conversation. When they do this, I don't react. I feel like I've changed since last year. Last year, I had road rage. Amen. This year, it's gone a little bit. I'm shocked with myself sometimes. I think, man, I'm not getting discouraged over this thing. This didn't make me nervous. I'm patient with that person. Just one. And, my mind didn't go off spinning with anxiety about that when the panic came. I'm changing. And that will never stop in your life. It should never stop. How horrible is it when you leave the pathway that God's put you on and you start going backwards and you say, whoa, I'm not doing so well. I used to handle this a lot better. That shouldn't be the way that we're gauging our life. We should be thinking, things are getting better in my world all the time. And because of that, your employer looks at you and says, wow, this person's more mature than they've ever been. We'll promote them. Your internal transformations will open doors for you and take you to higher levels because you've gone to a higher level on the inside of yourself because you soaked and became a blue potato. Amen. Down at Presence Conference. A transformation got on the inside of your soul. And that is the Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit doing that for you. In 2 Corinthians 3 verse 18, but we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory by the Spirit, by the Holy Spirit. Not by any books, not by any programs, but by the Holy Spirit. And the greatest place you can be in the Spirit is in worship and just sitting in meetings and in an atmosphere of the communion of the saints and finding yourselves getting touched, empowered. And that word transformation is metamorpho, from which we get metamorphosis. And you know, here's this little bug over here. It's going to become this beautiful butterfly. But if you were an alien or somebody who'd never seen that, I said, see this ugly bug? It's going to become this beautiful butterfly. Like in a period of about 9 days, it goes boom, boom. No, never. How could that ever happen? I mean, it's unbelievable. But that's the transformation that the Lord says the Holy Spirit can do in your life. So you take your ugly little bugs to, you know, not your children. I wouldn't be calling them that at all, you know. But we could take our, whatever it is, our bug life, the crawling life, along to a place where the presence of God can touch us and find ourselves being transformed from glory to glory to glory. God has purposes in mind for you and I. I'm not so sure they're all going to get accomplished on an occasional Sunday service. There comes a time where just over a period of time as you soak in and marinate in that wine of the Holy Spirit that you achieve transformations that cannot be achieved any other way. Amen. Okay, so this conference that we are holding started way back in the middle of 1980s. So we were doing it as OzFi for 18 years, and then we changed it over to Presence and took it to Easter. So way back then, we decided we'd have this conference, and we felt God guiding us to have it on Boxing Day and finish on New Year's Eve. So we'd all hang out here, go hard for day after day after day, and then go all night long with New Year's Eve, and that was awesome. But when the Lord told me to do that, I thought, nobody's going to turn up. My Lord, on Boxing Day, we're all fat and lazy, and we've eaten too much, and we don't want to go anywhere, do anything, want to go to the beach, going to have a conference. It's ridiculous. I didn't think anybody would come. But on that first night, I remember getting so shocked that there were like hundreds and hundreds of people. And the power of God came into those meetings magnificently. So I was very happy for that. But let me take you back just a month before that, when we were first doing this conference, because that relates to what we are doing here. That it isn't, what we're doing isn't just having a gathering and a bit of an event with some music and speakers coming up. It's like a moment where God says, I want to visit you and I want to touch your life. And so right at the start of this, I'm going to tell you a story that is to do with, I've had several encounters with angels, and sometimes an individual angel has turned up. About, I could name twice that's happened. And this experience, I've never had an experience like this before this nor since then. But this was in, like I say, the mid-1980s. And about a month before we were to start Ozfire the conference, I was driving from Eleanora, where we lived, down through Narrabeen to Brookvale, to the warehouse that we used as a church, a 40,000 square foot warehouse. And as I was driving past where Bunnings is now, I think it was Mitre 10 or something, I went into a vision. I cannot remember anything from that moment until I'm turning into our Brookvale warehouse church. I was just gone. I don't know how I drove there, how I got there. I was driving and navigating all the way with somebody else was doing it. Amen. I'm not sure how it worked, but I'm there looking at this vision, and in come these like worker angels, not dressed fancy pants, not looking too amazing or anything, just workers. And they come in and they had white stuff under their arms, and they rolled it out and went brum, brum, brum. And they covered the entire bottom area of that warehouse with a floor, white floor. And then they put up walls and they made a tent inside the building. Then they built a stage, and then they put a throne on the stage, and I was ecstatic. I thought, oh, I'm so happy. God's going to come. Amen. He's put a tent up inside our warehouse. This is awesome. And then I saw a guy with a bell going dong, 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 dang, dong, dong. And he was ringing it like this. He's walking up and down inside that thing, ringing this bell, like church bells, it sounded like. And the Lord said to me, I said, what's that? He said, that's the bell ringer. He will ring that bell, and everybody who's meant to hear the sound of it will hear it, and they will come. It will be a summoning to them. Like church bells in a city start ringing, and everybody thinks, oh, we've got to go to prayer, or we've got to go to church, which they were once upon a time, but not so much now. And so he was ringing this bell. I could hear it loud and clear in my ear. And I thought, wow, people are going to hear that, like, and feel the drawing of that bell from heaven. So that was all good. I'm ecstatic. I'm going, whoa. I told some people, you know, because when you see something like that, it's very kind of encouraging if you're nervous about what's going to happen. Okay, so 2 days before Christmas, 3 days before this conference is about to start. Same thing. I'm driving down there on my way to the warehouse, on my way to church. Go past that place at Bunnings, you know, where it is now. And boom, I'm in a vision again. And I am watching, and those roadie angels, the workers angels, they came into the hall and they're rolling it all up. They're packing it up. And I'm going, no! Don't pack up the tent. I go, what have I done, God? What have I sinned? What did I do wrong? I'm sorry. I repent from everything. I don't care what it is. And I'm really kind of upset. And once they'd finished, he didn't talk to me. They finished wrapping it all up. He said, don't worry. That was the rehearsal. We had to get all the measurements right, and we're now going to roll out the real tent. And I thought, that sounds so weird. That's what we do on earth. You're heaven. You don't do stuff like that, do you? He said, that's how we do it. So anyway, they started rolling out this see-through, gossamer sort of stuff that you could, sheer. And it had glimmering lights all the way through it on the floor, and then up the walls, up the side, and then in the roof. And it was a tent that you could see right through, and it was just glorious. And then it had like these carnival lights right across the top, which I thought was a bit sort of funny. I thought it was like, isn't this going to be a bit more serious? Lord, you got carnival lights like on a cruise liner up there. And isn't this going to be a party? It's going to be an awesome, celebration and marvelous time in my presence. And so all these lights started going up, and I thought, wow, this is like carnival, like presents and everything. And then there was a stage, and then the throne, which I couldn't kind of see. It was like just glory. It was just bathed in light, okay, there. And I thought, wow, this is a star. Now I was feeling really excited. I thought, this is amazing. And the Lord said, I will sit on the stage. And when people come and they're in worship there, their hearts will break. They will break open. And I will look in their hearts, and I will select an army for my son. So the father comes, selects an army for his son. And then he said to me, when the queen comes to town, the city spends $50 million. When the pope comes to town, they'll spend $100 million getting the place ready. When the Almighty God is going to come into your town, I make sure that there's been a rehearsal, that everything is set up just right, and that when I come in, it's going to work. Now, then the hosts came in, and I'm watching and saw four really strong, powerful-looking angels. These guys, and the guys who were rolling it all out, they weren't like worker angels. They were like glorious ones. And now these four, like, angels of the hosts, like warrior angels, standing at the four corners of the tent. And then in a wall there about half the size were all these other, like, war angels, but they were not, like, these big guys. They were just, like, the wall of defense. So it was a security setup, whatever. It was just the honoring of the army being there to welcome the Almighty God when he comes. And then up behind them came all these crazy angels, like party angels. They're going, whoa! They were making a noise and go, yeah, it's going to happen. And they're all flapping and flying around. Saying, praise him, praise him. They're all just dancing and singing. And the other guys were like the Buckingham Palace soldiers. They just stand there completely unaffected by these other guys and whatever they were doing. It was just an amazing event to watch. And angels and the armies of heaven are there to welcome the Almighty God when he comes to visit the earth in something like that. And so I'm telling you, this isn't like a conference we just say, oh, what a good idea that'd be. This is something like God has ordained from heaven to transform people's lives and to come into your world and make a difference. And I share that with you because you need to know that when we read the Bible, like just what we read, there was an angel leading Ezekiel deeper and deeper. And there are angels that want to take you and lead you deeper and deeper. And if we can follow that, and if you could think of me maybe just now as that angel measuring out 1,500 meters for you to walk to get knee deep, and then another 1,500. Come on, let's go a little deeper. Come on, let's go all the way for your sake. We're not going to lead you into things that'll hurt you, that are bad for you, or that kind of thing. We only have your best interest and the kingdom of God in our hearts. And one thing that we are desperate for is not just for every individual here to get blessed, but our whole church to be blessed and our whole movement around the world, C3 Global, to get touched and empowered for a whole new day, to go to a whole new level in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Thanks for listening to the C3 Church podcast. Visit us online at myc3church.net. Join us next time for more great teaching.